Hello, and welcome to another episode of Healthy Steps Cast, a podcast for health coaches, physicians, or any other health professional committed to promoting healthy lifestyle behaviors. My name is Adam Gavarkas, and I'm a research assistant with the Healthy Steps Program research team based at Western University in London, Ontario, Canada, and I'm very happy that you've decided to join us for this episode. Today, I am excited to be joined by Dr. Aaron Pearson, who is an assistant professor at Lakehead University in Thunder Bay, Ontario. Aaron has been a part of the Healthy Steps team for several years, but also has a keen interest in the power of health coaching for preventing obesity. Our wide-ranging discussion includes her program of research at Lakehead and her experiences she has had delivering health coaching interventions to adults and children alike. Enjoy. Well, Aaron, again, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today. And so to start, why don't you tell me a little bit about your research interests and some of the projects you have going on up at Lakehead University?
Sure. Well, thanks for inviting me, first of all.
Absolutely.
Excited to speak with you. Research interests, well, my background and training is in health promotion. So my PhD was in health promotion with a focus on health behavior change using a coactive coaching model, which I can speak to shortly. Mm-hmm. Current projects, because I'm relatively new to the region, I've been doing some needs assessment type work with some local agencies, our local health unit, for example, our school board, just trying to gauge where people are at with health behaviors. One project in particular, I've been working with the school board, public school board, and partnering with the Good Life Kids Foundation to explore the feasibility of delivering the Good Life for Kids program in a grade 4 classroom. This program is intended to help improve physical literacy. We know kids aren't as active as they need to be by quite a bit, actually, and this program works to help teachers learn more about teaching phys ed, mm-hmm. Providing different tools, and we actually had a kinesiology student, one of my fourth-year thesis students, run the program. It's intended to be delivered over 2 years, but we condensed it to a 12-week program, and she went in and worked with the teacher and helped to train the teacher to deliver this program with the goal of the program being sustained beyond having someone there to help. So this is a really exciting project because it's the first of its kind to be delivered in an area without a Good Life Fitness location. We are more, I guess, in a more remote area of the province, so that's exciting. And we're seeing lots of really neat things in terms of motivation amongst the kids and just the teacher feeling more efficacious with regards to delivering phys ed. Another project we have on the go is with my current master's student, looking at how coactive coaching, which is a style of life coaching, can be utilized to help new moms transition into their role as a new mom, mm-hmm. Given all the many hats that they're already wearing. And it's an 8-week program, so looking at how coaching can be influencing physical and psychological health amongst new moms.
Yeah, that's great. And especially the promoting physical activity and physical literacy in children. The previous episode of the podcast, I walked through a new study by researchers at Johns Hopkins that really took a longitudinal computational look at the effects of promoting physical activity behaviors in children and the effects on both a reduction in chronic diseases as well as an economic impact throughout the lifespan. And the results were mind-blowing. The number of strokes and cancer incidences and heart disease, as well as the financial savings of really starting early and promoting healthy physical activity levels in children. So that's fabulous to hear that's on your radar. So one of the other things you touched on a little bit was coactive life coaching. Now, in the Healthy Steps program, which of course is a health coaching program to promote healthy lifestyles, our coaching procedure is informed and inspired by motivational interviewing. Now, coactive life coaching is more of a specific type of health coaching within the realm of motivational interviewing. So I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit more about this method and why you think this method in particular is useful and could be successful in motivating behavior change.
Motivational interviewing is something that was examined by our research team, which was pioneered out of Western University in relation to collective coaching. Dr. Jennifer Irwin and Dr. Don Morrow were trained collective coaches and found that in their practice they were seeing positive changes amongst their clients that weren't intended, so things like weight loss and improvements in self-esteem and depression and quality of life and those types of things. And so they started studying this model, which was very much grounded in practice, from a theoretical perspective. And motivational interviewing, we know, is a technique that healthcare providers can use. It was initially implemented for substance use, and now we know it can be effective in many other health behaviors, but basically helping clients and patients to resolve ambivalence, so working with them in partnership to help make a positive change. Where the collective coaching model comes in, we really sort of look at it as a how-to, because what we found through our research is that MI training is varied, and there's so many different schools and philosophies about how to deliver and train individuals for MI, ranging from a couple hours for a session to maybe a couple days. The collective coaching model is a very rigorous style of coaching that's been around for several decades now. It's accredited by the International Coach Federation and affiliated with a number of established organizations. McLean Hospital, for example, which is a Harvard Medical School affiliate. And the training is very rigorous and involves 5 weekends, 5 30-hour weekends, over 100 plus hours of training one-on-one as a coach, certification exam, oral and written, so it is very rigorous, and that's one of the things with life coaching, because it's not a regulated profession yet. So really making sure that individuals do their research when they're looking to maybe hire a coach or work with a coach. So essentially, to go back to your question, the collective coaching does integrate elements of MI, so working in partnership, helping clients to resolve ambivalence using sort of our collective coaching toolbox, which could involve things like asking powerful questions, conceptually just really trying to meet patients where they are, and that's a really big piece, because we know we can't always just impose our agenda no matter how well-intentioned we are, because if people aren't ready or if they're not in the place to hear that, it's really not going to be effective. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it absolutely does, and segues nicely into what I would like to talk about next. So you talk about imposing an agenda on a patient or a client. Although the Healthy Steps program does include prescriptions that are based on a participant's past eating behaviors, also their fitness level, as is determined by a submaximal VO2 test that we've developed at Western. One of the important tenets of the program is that we're not imposing any particular strategy or any particular exercise or fruit or vegetable or anything like that on the participant. It's a very interactive, collaborative approach to actually coming up with the goals and the strategies that a participant might use moving forward. Now, I know some of your previous research has been looking specifically at the differences in the way in which participants respond to that interactive, collaborative approach versus a more top-down, prescriptive approach. So, in terms of that research and the tenets of the Healthy Steps program that I mentioned previously, I guess to expand on your previous answer, what are the ways in which an interactive approach may be more beneficial for a patient or a client looking to change their behavior?
Well, we know that from a theoretical perspective, people want to be autonomous. We want to have agency and a sense of choice in the behaviors that we're engaging in, and that's one of our sort of psychological needs, if you will. And so by working more in partnership or collaborating with our clients, we're opening up to them options of meaning, things that will be of value to them, rather than, and of course, as health professionals, we do have our agendas, we do have our scope of practice, we have to, you know, provide information. Through a program like Healthy Steps, where people are coming volitionally, presumably, for assistance, that does really open it up to to asking questions and enabling people to make some choices. So that's a really important piece of I guess the non-prescription or interactive approach, if you will. And that's something we focus a lot on in coaching, is this notion of values and trying to link behavioral choices and decisions to what's important to people at their core. How does making a decision honor their value of health or honor their value of family? And we see meaningful results, you know, as a result of that.
That's great. That's a really important insight. So you mentioned when you were talking about some of the projects you currently have going on, one of which is focused on children, and the other current project with your master's student is focused on new moms. What are some of the differences, maybe the challenges in working with children trying to influence constructs like physical literacy or even behaviorally versus more developed adults?
Yeah, that's a great question. So children are special beings because they're developing their sense of self. We have to really make sure we're involving the family when we're talking about health behavior change in children, because families are the ones making the decisions. They're buying the groceries. You know, when we're talking about health behavior change, they're setting the routines. They're the main supports for their kids in most cases. So really involving the family is key when we're talking about children. And children really work from a sort of an external place of motivation. So they really just, they want to please those people that are important to them, whereas adults, and not in all cases, but adults tend to look for more intrinsic meaning. They want things to be done because it's important to them on a personal level. So just taking those things into consideration when we're seeking to, you know, create an intervention or work with either group. And at the end of the day, we want health behavior change to be fun. We want it to be meaningful. So trying to meet, and I've said this before, like meet whichever population where they're at, and really kind of get to the core is, you know, what's important to you about this particular action.
Mm-hmm.
But with kids in particular, we know that that family piece is something that we really need to consider. And some of the work I did previously with Dr. Shauna Burke at Western University through the Children's Health and Activity Modification Program really brought that message home in terms of sort of the 12-week summer camp for children struggling with their weight and their families. So we involved the families on weekends. They sort of had to come to these educational sessions where they were given the same information that the kids were given at the camp during the week, so they could really speak the same language. And that's something that that the parents commented on, you know, so I didn't realize this before, like heightened awareness in terms of nutrition, and my child came home and said this to me, and now I know what this means, and they could have conversations about it. So really working with the whole unit, really important.
Yeah, that is important. And I appreciate you highlighting that these populations, as in adults and children, aren't fundamentally different from each other. All of these efforts should come from foundationally a place where we're trying to appeal to someone's values and work
right.
with them collaboratively in that way. And maybe there are different or more appropriate strategies for one population versus the other, but it's still that foundation is consistent throughout. So I appreciate you bringing that up. So one of the other things I've talked about previously on the podcast are some healthy lifestyle myths that may be propagated through the media or through word of mouth. I've talked about water consumption and whether the ubiquitous 8 glasses a day recommendation is actually supported by recent scientific evidence. So is there a myth that you come across a lot in your practice, or is there some dimension or some aspect of healthy living that you're aware of because of you're tapped into the scientific literature that you don't think a lot of people on Main Street are really aware of?
Yeah. Well, the first thing that comes to mind when I think about physical activity or exercise, I think a lot of people equate that notion with going to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And that for some people is not a pleasant thought. A lot of people don't enjoy that sort of structure or environment for any number of reasons. And I think just making sure we're getting the message out there that just moving, and I think this, you know, agencies are doing an increasingly better job with this, but just moving more is something that's really important. You know, we know now we also need to not just focus on being more active, but also sitting less, and that tends to be the way that our society's going. So getting those messages out there, as people are doing with regards to, you know, being less sedentary and just moving more, however that looks for you, and again, in a way that is fun for you or that you enjoy, whether it's going for a walk or a swim or whatever that may be. The piece around dietary consumption, and I don't think this is new news, but this whole idea of marketing, especially when we're talking about marketing to kids and what is healthy and what isn't healthy, and these, you know, these sort of energy drinks and sugar content in a lot of these health halo type foods, you know, that we might view as healthy through marketing, but in fact, when we look at the breakdown, aren't so healthy for us. And I think the education piece around that is something that definitely needs more work.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you keyed in on an important trend that I think will only become more important, which is that idea of media literacy. You talked about physical literacy previously. Health literacy is a well-established concept in the field, but media literacy seems to be only now starting to get the daylight that it really deserves, especially with respect to children, because you're right, some of this advertising is so insidious to promoting these sugar sweetened beverages in particular. And again, comes back to one of the things you said previously, which is that's a strategy with respect to children that really does require involvement on the family level and requires a deeper understanding of in parents of all of the things that children are bombarded with on a daily basis. So I think that's really important. So I appreciate you bringing that up. So Aaron, I really want to thank you for taking the time to talk with me today. I really appreciate it. I'm sure listeners will really appreciate all the insightful comments you had, and I hope that we'll get the opportunity to speak with you again soon.
Thanks, Adam.
I want to thank you very much for taking the time to listen, and on behalf of the Healthy Steps team, we hope you tune in again. If you would like to learn more about the Healthy Steps program and even becoming a certified Healthy Steps coach, please visit us at www.healthysteps.ca and explore our online training program. If you'd like to reach out to provide feedback or recommend a topic, you can email us at healthysteps@gmail.com. Otherwise, you can follow our team on Twitter @HealthySteps or me @AdamGavarkovs. Till next time, talk soon.